This is the news, according to me. I'm pretty sure that may have been Eric Swalwell creeping around somewhere here in the studio. I'm not positive about that, but kind of sounded a little bit. Yep, that might have been him, I think, possibly. Okay, we've got, this is a huge show this morning. Had some really interesting information. I'm going to jump right into it because, as usual, right now the cycle of news is really moving, to say the least. Have some interesting information. Where does it end? Where does it begin? All kinds of things happening with the impeachment. All kinds of things happening with, in the Senate and the House. We do have to kind of go backtrack a little bit on Mitch McConnell. Apparently, the report of him going along with this impeachment was a little bit premature and a little bit overblown. They, of course, put words in his mouth, which he left the opportunity there for them to do that. But that's he's being political. He's playing the game, but he's. He has basically said that the impeachment will not happen. They're not going to have a hearing under his watch, basically, is what it amounts to. He's passing the buck off to Schumer, and it won't happen until, at the very earliest, it will happen at 1 o'clock on January 20th, which some argue quite vehemently that's a moot point at that point. You can't impeach a president who's not sitting in office. If you can, then we can go back and get anybody. We can impeach dead presidents, for that matter. And why not? Why not just go ahead and do that? Just cancel them all. So it's just another thing in the whole line of stuff that's going on. Some of the things that Eric Swalwell said on the House, or on the House floor, absolutely preposterous and, in my opinion, disgusting. And it goes along with the way they have ramped up this rhetoric about what happened on Capitol Hill. Now, having said that, I have seen some video, and I will not be playing the audio this morning. I'm hoping to have this organized a little bit better by this afternoon to play some audio of the video I found last night. A fellow by the name of Elijah Schaefer with... he has a show on the Blaze Network. It's called Slightly Offensive. This guy is a true journalist. I consider people like him and people like Project Veritas, like Specs O'Keefe. I call him Specs O'Keefe. O'Keefe and some of the others, and there's some other guys out there you'd never heard of. Who are, like war correspondents and that kind of thing, who are out there doing the job, and they don't, it's not about them, it's about the news. And they, some of these guys are out there, but Elijah has gone right into the heart of some of these protests. He's gotten beaten up himself. He asks them questions, gets right, sticks the microphone in their face, asks them what they're doing, is right there in the danger zone where the cops won't go. And he's gotten some really good footage. Now, last night on his show, he was talking about the way they're, the ridiculousness that's going on in the country and everything that's happened with some of these situations. And he was there. He was there at the Capitol that day. He was not in the Capitol, but he was there. And he was trying to document everything that was going on. He may have actually been up in the one area of the Capitol. I didn't hear the whole report, but the parts I got to hear, I kind of tuned in late. It was a live show on YouTube, believe it or not. And I was able to get the gist of it. But he played a video on there of a group that had broken into that window, the famous one that we show them, that they're hitting the window and busting in. That was a very specific room that they intended to break into. And this was an organized group. Now, I also want to talk about the timeline a little bit of this whole thing, because the timeline does not match up with what they're telling us or what they're trying, the narrative that they're trying to portray. They want this to sound like the president made a speech, and then after the president made the speech, Guess what? They all marched down there and busted into the Capitol. That is not what happened. At all. Nothing even close to that. The president's speech only lasted about 30 minutes. 20 minutes prior to his closing remarks, the violence started. You want to call it the violence, which it, there was some. There were some antagonizers with the police at the one of the lines. And that's where things got unruly. Now, it was only a group of about 10 or 20 people there that got upset and started pushing back on the police officers. And it's questionable whether or not these people were actually Trump supporters. Now, I follow a lot of YouTube channel pundits, guys that talk politics. Brandon Tatum, I follow him a lot. I really like him. BCP, which is Black Conservative Patriot. He's got a little radio. He calls his newscast Open Source News. He's out of Appleton, Wisconsin. Love to meet these guys someday in person. I'd love to, potentially can get up to Appleton occasionally, and it'd be really fun to have breakfast with BCP. I won't say his real name. He never says his real name on his show, so I'm not going to do that. Brandon Tatum, another guy. I was listening to him last night. I got a lot of scattered thoughts this morning, and so I'm going to try to keep this. I've got some things written down because I'm going to try to keep my thoughts in line and in order, because there's some video. There's also some video on the another YouTube channel guy by the name of Mr. Reagan. That's his name of his channel, Mr. Reagan. His name is not Reagan. He's not Mr. Reagan. He is a staunch Reagan Republican. At least that's where his inspiration came. And he plays a lot of quotes and stuff from Reagan, which is some really good stuff from some of his speeches. And this morning, I tuned into his thing. And once in a while, he'll have he's kind of been doing some experimenting a little bit with his platform. And with his channel, I guess. And he had this one thing on that was just all a couple different interviews that a guy by the name of Patrick Byrne, who was the CEO, I think he started Overstock.com. He's no longer the owner of or CEO of Overstock.com, but he started it. I know he was the CEO, at least when it was a big company. Whether he started it or not, I don't know, because a lot of these big companies were started by a couple guys in their garage. And they just exploded, and they sold them up. Google was not started by the people who run it now. It was started by some guys who just started a little company, search engine thing, sold it for like $1 million, and they're kicking themselves now. Okay, maybe they got some stock options too. I don't know. Of course, YouTube sold out to Google as well. Different things like that, and there's some questionable conspiracy theory information on who really had the money. Who was the money behind Google as well? Who purchased Google? There's a lot of shadow companies out there that some certain organizations within the government have black bag funding that they use. Known and documented fact right there. That's not speculation or a conspiracy tinfoil hat thing. And so there's that kind of stuff going on. This Patrick Byrne, who was interviewed back in December, mid-December, a couple times by a couple different organizations. I don't know where he is right now. I'm not sure what's happened with him since. He has some damning information on he was working with the FBI to do what he thought was conduct some sting operations prior to the 2016 election. The feds were convinced that Hillary was going to be the next president, and so they were setting things up and getting that whole, their apparatus, if you will, put in place to be able to run their standard MO, mode of operation. So we'll get into that a little bit, because that also, when they were caught off guard by Trump winning, they ended up having to kind of regroup and rethink what they were going to do in order to manage their situation. So he has some inside information on that whole thing. I'll play a few clips. I do have some clips of his interviews, some important parts of that that I want to make some points on. Now, getting back to Eric Swalwell, from the House floor, and this is where the rhetoric has gone. Eric Swalwell has the audacity. This is, you know, the Eric Swalwell we all know. And by the way, that is the actual audio from the interview he was having. I think it was Chris Matthews he was being interviewed by. This is the actual audio. And I won't play the whole thing, but he's basically saying this election to cheat. And then, of course, as he finishes the word cheat, he pauses for a second, and this happens. He's just, as he's ending the word cheat, an election. To cheat an election. I would say he was doing this to cheat an election. He said it was he did this to cheat an election. And he even moved in his chair. And then he claims it wasn't. All right, well, anyway, I had to laugh about something this morning because this is pretty intense. Things are getting so ridiculous. But not sure, Rabbi Rick, speaking of, just go off on a tangent here for a second, if you will, because that's what I do. They call me Tangent Man. That's my superpower. I went off. Rick probably will, Rabbi Rick will probably not be with us this afternoon. It's questionable. He has some other appointments. I have a tight schedule. And what I'm thinking about doing is possibly having a Rabbi Rick phone call. And might have a little discussion quickly on the developing news of the day. I'm going to try to talk him into that because I probably have a 5-10 minute phone call with him, and we can put that in here so we can at least have some kind of entertainment, and not just have to listen to me. So this, here's the information that that is basically So Swalwell, getting back to Swalwell, because I don't want to forget about Swalwell. He is on the House floor, and he starts talking about how Osama bin Laden didn't step foot on the United States soil, but he was the inspiration behind the attack on 9/11. See where I'm going with this. And President Trump was no different. Now, I'm not quoting him word for word, but this is the gist of what he's saying. I wish I had that. I apologize. My morning has been kind of messed up, but I got up too late. The statement was basically that President Trump is acting just like Osama bin Laden in the respect that he influenced the crowd, and by his rhetoric and speech and the fact that he didn't accept the election the day after the election, basically. He didn't say that, but that's where they're at with this. That somehow that has ginned up the rhetoric and caused people to get violent on the 6th last week. Now, keep in mind that, like I said, the speech lasted 30 minutes, or about that. He was about 10 minutes into the speech when the violence started at the Capitol. There is now information coming out that says that they had prior information that there was going to be potential violence. They knew that there was a couple of groups that might be there that might be kind of violent. One and proof of that, evidence of that, actual. When the leader of the Proud Boys, which I'm not going to get into that, they are not a white supremacist group, by the way. A black Cuban by the name of Enrique is the leader of the group. Sounds like a white supremacist to me. You know, I'm surprised he doesn't just wear his hood everywhere he goes. But he steps off of the plane in D.C. And because he burned a BLM flag, which is a hate crime, by the way, burning a BLM flag is a hate crime. Because burning the U.S. flag is First Amendment rights, protected free speech. But somehow a BLM flag is, I don't get it. It's just, well, you know how it is. We're living in that world. So that's what that's about. Anyway. So he gets off the plane and he apparently has, I assume it wasn't in his carry-on because I don't know how he got through security with that, but he got busted right away. He apparently had this stuff in his check bags, I assume. Who uses check bags anymore? So he has check bags and he has some illegal high-capacity magazines. They call them magazines there. Yeah, that's what they are. I'm surprised they didn't call them clips. So he has these high-capacity magazines for I guess, a handgun. Now, keep in mind, there were no bullets in it, but he has the magazines. I don't know why. I don't know why he had them. I don't know what there was a plan. I don't know what the plan was. All I know is that D.C. has one of the highest crime rates in the country, and frankly, I know why some of the House and Senate people want to carry. They want the right to carry in that town. It's not a terribly, like D.C. proper is pretty safe. There's not as much crime there, but right on the fringes is where crime is out of the, it's per capita is off the charts. So maybe it was just for self-protection. I don't know. I don't know what it was for. Maybe they were planning to do something. I don't know. I don't know what the plan was there. So they got him out of the picture. So we know that they knew they had prior knowledge of people who was traveling in and out of D.C. at the time. And you better believe everybody that goes in and out of Reagan, they know who's on board. I used to fly in and out of Reagan all the time. And we had cabinet people on board the plane a lot of times, some high, you know, unknown officials. We had Secret Service on the plane. You never know. Now, me as the pilot, I didn't know. Unless there was somebody, if there was somebody armed, I'm not going to get into that. So I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. And I don't even know who you are. So it'd be really hard. It would take me the rest of my life to track you down. So I'm not going to do that. It'd be too much work. By the way, I'm drinking tea this morning. So look out, because I might get at this. Hot chocolate has a tendency to calm me down. And I put so much sugar in my tea that it has a tendency to wind me up a little bit. So as we speak, it is soaking into my veins, pumping through my body and causing me to flip out. So we've got all that going on. Now let's talk about this. So the timeline. Now this leads to another issue, and this is where I promise I will try to do my best. I have an extremely busy day planned, but if I can, I'm going to try to get you some audio of this video that Elijah Schaefer played last night. So at the time that everybody got done with the speech from Trump speaking, and then they were walking down to where the Capitol is, 20 minutes before anybody could have walked there after the speech. Now, they might have left the speech early, but they were basically not listening to the president speak. They were down at the Capitol early. And there's a reason. If you're trying to break into the Capitol, you're not going to wait till there's, you know, a million people gathered around the Capitol to try to work your way through the crowd. They wanted to get there before the crowd got there. So obviously they're getting there before the speech is released. So they're ahead of all this. They have all this planned out. They know what they're doing. So, and I want to talk about Brandon Tatum again in a little bit, because he had a show on last night that was kind of freaking out. And I want to say some things. If any of you have ever watched Brandon Tatum or Officer Tatum, his YouTube channel, if you watched him last night, I wish I could get through to him personally, because I mean, he's passionate about what he believes, and he's very upset right now. And I appreciate his comments, but it's, I think you need to realize, he made some comments last night that I think he hadn't thought through very well. The issue is, so these guys come up to the White House in this one particular window that they're trying to bash in. Now, it took those windows are not just, you know, one pane, single pane, you know, safety glass. They were using some pretty heavy duty materials, some big heavy, like it was like tire iron type stuff, trying to get into this window. It was a small window. It was probably smaller than a lot of people's computer screens. Like it was like the size of a large laptop screen, maybe a little bigger than that. And so they're busting this window, or a small TV, let's say that. And so they're busting this window. And of course, this is when people were kind of around them. There was kind of a sheltered window where you couldn't really see it very well and you couldn't get to it very well. So their people were all kind of surrounded in this window trying to keep people away from them. But a couple of people did get through and tried to stop them from doing what they were doing, trying to slow them down, stop them. Well, that all being said, they ended up getting through the window. And there was a group of about, I'm going to say it was more than 10, less than 20, and I would say probably in the 12 to 13 range if I wasn't able to count. They're running around all over the place inside this one. It's a smaller room where this window goes into, and it's probably the size of, you know, a large living room kind of thing. It's a fairly low ceilings, some regular furniture, kind of overstuffed furniture. It looked like kind of a little lounge of some kind. And they're in there and they're kind of pushing furniture around and tipping it upside down and kind of piling it up so they got more room for their people in there because it wasn't a terribly large room. And so they're kind of doing their thing and they're trying to figure, they have gas masks. They're getting kind of, that's kind of like a staging area for doing whatever they're going to do. And they're starting to talk to each other and they're all obviously working together. This is not a group of people who didn't know each other. They're all, you know, talking to each other. They all know who each other are. I don't know that they mentioned any names. And somebody's videoing this whole thing. Which you always have to take a step back and ask yourself, who's videoing and why? And, you know, in some of these videos that are staged and some of the stuff that happens, you have to realize, okay, this isn't just somebody by chance having, you know, recorded this. This was, you know, sometimes it's produced very well. Now, this was not produced well. This was an obvious person just in there trying to document everything that was going on, and they were showing video. And it's hard to tell, but I think that it's legitimate. I think it's just somebody videoing. Now, while this was all going on, excuse me, there was someone outside the window, and they were kind of guarding the window so that nobody else could come in. And there was a lady at the window outside with a bullhorn, because I'm sure it was very loud outside. She was speaking in through the window. She put the bullhorn in through the window and was yelling at them and giving them instructions. And she was talking very in great detail about where everything was in the building. I mean, this is like she had recent knowledge of where things were in that building. And she goes, down two floors, you'll find this, and you have to go there, and you'll find this in that closet, and then you go there. I mean, she's giving, and I'll try to play this audio because I can't do it justice, but she's giving them specific instructions on where everything is and how to get around and how to get to where they need to go. Now, some of the things that were said on the house floor, the one guy who thought that Guam was going to tip over because there's too many people on it, because he's apparently, I think he was serious. Nobody knows really for sure, but I think he was serious. I think because he sounded like he was a little bit high at the time. So I'm not sure exactly. He was talking to a military individual and he asked him, if we get too many people on the island, will it tip over? And I have to believe the guy was joking, but it's because otherwise this guy's in charge of something and how ridiculous. So this guy, he claims that if they would have gotten in there into the house floor, they came in specifically for the purpose of killing all of the black representatives. He's convinced that that's what these people came in to do. That they were white supremacists and Nazis, because, you know, they're just everywhere. And they were coming in to kill all the black representatives. Now, I don't know if this happens because a person, you know, they speak this kind of rhetoric for 4 years, and so then they get themselves convinced and in this, some kind of state of delirium where they believe this kind of stuff, and so that's what they think. But I have a hard time accepting that, unless he has some kind of information I don't know about. And if they were going to do that, I guarantee you, this is not something that the president would have ordered to have done. That's just asinine. So I don't know where this guy gets his information or why. It just blows my mind. So all this is going on. And of course, they whisked off Nancy Pelosi into some special place, I guess. This is just coming out. The rest of the House had to go to some other little room somewhere and shut her in. While I'd like to know who they were. My guess is they were ex-military or something. But a couple House representatives and Senate guys, they stayed in the, you have to realize this was a joint House meeting. So a couple of these guys actually stayed back and didn't go into shelter. They stayed out and helped the police, helped them do what they needed to do. Good for them. And so let me be clear here, what I'm getting at. There was a group of individuals there that it sounds like were there with the intent of doing something to Congress, the congressmen and women that were there. I don't know what. I don't know what they had in their backpacks. My understanding at this point is that they intended to go in and do a citizen's arrest of some kind. Now, looking at these individuals, if you can read a book by its cover, they look a little bit wacky. They just don't look like your average guy next door necessarily. They look like some kind of radicals. I don't know. All about the same age, which is, now this fits right into the Antifa profile, which doesn't mean that much to me. So it's, and here's why I say that, because there are people who are, and they could have been infiltrated by special ops and been right there with them. Because if you've ever seen some people that are undercover with the FBI, the special ops, anything like that, you would never think they're not there. They don't look like an FBI agent with the, you know, they don't look like the Boy Scout, the proper haircut and all the stuff. You know, they can look like they are homeless, and there are agents like that that hide undercover under the cover of fitting in with a certain segment of society that you would not ever think that they were an agent, that they were a federal agent. So there could have been some infiltrated into this group. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that there were any. I'm just saying that you can't judge a book by its covers. What I'm getting at. What I'm saying is, if I were to just assess by their looks, because this is where I'm going with this. Where I take issue with Brandon Tatum and what he said last night was that these, you know, because Trump came out and made this speech and he said, no supporter of mine would do X, Y, and Z. No supporter of mine would do this. No true supporter of mine would be violent with police. No, so he's, because he's the, you know, he's the law and order. He believes in law and order. Well, that Brandon kind of was taken back by that because he said these guys had Trump flags. They had Trump shirts. They had hats. They had, you know, they had all the stuff. What'd you expect them to have? If you're trying to, that's why it's called a false flag. There's a reason it's called a false flag, because you're under cover of another flag doing an event. When a false flag happens, in other words, like the Bay of Tonkin incident, things like that are called false flags because it's an incident where the actual country or the insurgents who did the attack didn't actually do the attack. It was somebody dressed up like them or perpetrated to be them and purported to be them. And then they do this act, and that gets us into a war, or that gets us into a conflict. And that's where we are with the 9/11 conspiracy. People say, oh, the government did it, and that got us into the war. Well, then what happened to those airplanes? Because I know some of the people, you know, remotely, not personally, but they can't. So anyway, so that's, it gets back to that whole thing. Now, coming up in a little bit, we're going to change gears here in a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about the issue of this Patrick Byrne thing, because this plays into a huge thing, and I'm probably going to talk about it for a little while. Might take a quick break and then do that. But it's because there's a lot. This brings up a lot more questions. This video for me brought up a lot more questions than answers. And while the rhetoric on the left and even with some Republicans has gotten out of hand, and their hatred for the president is mixed in with this whole thing and what happened, to equate this with 9/11 is because it's their personal 9/11, and they're personally scared and feel attacked and threatened. That's fine. I understand that. I get that. But they're going way overboard with their rhetoric. And that fuel, that fire that they've got, this passion that they've got about this whole thing is so overblown that it kind of makes you wonder if they weren't hoping for something like this to happen. In fact, it makes me wonder, I'll connect that dot and say, I wonder if they were a part of, you know, somebody wasn't a part of making this happen. And with the way they were getting instructions on where to go and how to get around the building, where things were located, like not just where rooms were, things in the building were located, things were in places where people in the public just don't normally go. So that was shocking to me. So having said all of that, that's why I'm a little bit concerned that maybe there's a few people on the right who are saying, no, this was nothing. It was just a little scuffle. Well, obviously from the damage that was done and some of the things that happened, yeah, they didn't exactly blow up the Capitol or light it on fire. There was some damage done. There were some things, you know, there were some offices ransacked, you might say. Sometimes the ransacking of an office is done to cover other things up, like Nancy Pelosi's laptop being missing. Now, what's on that? So all this stuff is going on, and what kind of information is out there? And now, why are they being so vehement about impeaching this guy? I mean, if they could do it, they would hang this guy from the Capitol steps. That's they would think that was the most just thing they could ever do. There are people in Congress who believe he should be hauled off to prison, and even worse. There really are. And they've, behind the scenes, said it. They haven't said it from the House floor, but they've said it. So that's the kind of vehement hatred they have for this guy. There's some people out there that have that kind of hatred for this guy. If you don't forget, there were a lot of House Democrats who did not attend the inauguration when Trump was elected. On day one, they introduced articles of impeachment, which is happening, ironically, this time as well. A brand new representative, junior representative, freshman, day one, on January 21st, is introducing articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. How ironic. Oh, there's more irony to that whole story. I won't get into it today. But that's kind of funny. So, but they're all over it. Like, you know, day after the election, if you didn't, and some of the things that they're doing, they're trying to force some of the House representatives to say, Joe Biden is the legitimate president. Say it. He's the legitimate president. Say it. Because if you don't say it, you're part of this insurrection. It's just ridiculous. And Jim Jordan, bless his heart, he, you know, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, he wouldn't back down on it. He went back through all the issues, the stuff that people have questions on, and they want some answers. And why won't you guys at least give us the time to have to get some answers? Why don't we actually look at the stuff instead of just denying that it ever existed? And you come up with some questions. How did this happen? Why do these numbers not match? Go away. You're wrong. It's been debunked. Go away. That's all you get. You don't get an explanation. We want a logical explanation, not a feel good thing about it. For 4 years, actually, for 2 years, the Russians colluded with Trump to hack the election. He wasn't a legitimate president for the 4 years he was in because Russia, Russia, Russia. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And actually, I want to talk about that because that comes up next with the whole thing with Comey, the Steele dossier that the president was shown right after he took office. And how that all works, how this whole machine works there in Washington with the feds, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and how they control people who are in the White House. So we'll get into that in a little bit. In the meantime, I think, I think that's all I have to say about most of that. And we'll talk about this whole Patrick Byrne thing. And I'll try to have more information about the Capitol breach and the video, this new video that I've seen. And some of you have probably already seen it, but I'll try to get that out there. So, so that's the news of the day so far. And that's about all I got to say about that. So in the meantime, we will, let's just do this. There's more.
Of course.
7:42. Well, how do you do? 6748. Text that number. It will be great.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be late. Text that number. Text that number.
Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. 574-742-6748.
That's right. Text that number. Don't be a loser. If you get a chance. 574-742-6748. And you can text me. You can call me. Usually in the mornings, I'm producing the morning show around 8 to 9 o'clock, someplace in there, doing the morning mash, and then in the afternoons, it's usually Rabbi Rick is here for the afternoon show, and it's usually, and sometime in around the anywhere from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, we start doing that. So call in and leave a message, or call in and maybe get us live, or text us and let us know, and we'll give you a call during the show while we're producing it, just like we're going to do with Rick this afternoon. So Rabbi Rick. So we got all that going on. Now, let's change gears a little bit, and let's talk a little bit about this whole thing with an individual by the name of Patrick Byrne, the guy who ran Overstock.com, and I think was bought out, resigned for some reason. Not sure exactly what happened. I don't know his background at all. But he's a very credible individual and is working with the FBI on some things. How he got hooked up with the FBI, I am not exactly sure. But there's more about this. If you go to Mr. Reagan, it's it's his YouTube channel. I was going to try to find it here and make sure that that's exactly what it is. I'm pretty sure it is. I don't see it now. I don't know what happened to it because there's been so many videos put out this morning and it's way down my list. I don't see it. There's some interesting other stuff there. Oh, should be after that. Why isn't it after that? I don't see it there. It's not there. It's somewhere in here. Maybe it's probably been taken off already. Has some very... here it is. Yeah, it's just Mr. Reagan. MR space REAGAN. He posted about 2 hours ago. It's about a 14 minute video, and it really goes through some of the clips from Patrick Byrne and some of the interviews he had back in December. It was right after the election. He kind of came out with a bunch of information. Now, he also talks about what happened prior to 2016 and how that kind of threw the feds into a tizzy, and some of the operations he was doing to try to get information and do some things with Hillary Clinton in the background, because the feds were setting her up to be able to control her. And here's what, and hopefully this comes through. I'm going to make sure that I've got all my settings right here to play this stuff. But so here is the information. Where'd that go? I need a secretary. It should be in here, right there. Oh, somewhere over there, one of these files right there. Pardon me while I figure this out. I don't have a Snurdly like Rush does. Anybody want a job? Doesn't pay anything, but, you know, benefits are great. Let's go here. Sound bites. There we go. All right, Patrick Byrne. Let's see if this plays. Now, I want to play this because it's important to understand how the FBI operates behind the scenes and why. And, you know, you've heard some information. Those of you who have been paying attention have probably heard some information about how let's put it this way. The laptop that was found, that was Hunter Biden's laptop, they actually had that apparently in their possession since last December, a year ago, 2019. A year ago, December. Right about the time that the impeachment trial was going on, right about the time that COVID was just kind of being discovered during that whole season of time, all the stuff was going on. They had the laptop. The guy who ran the computer store that had turned it over to them, basically... Rudy Giuliani ended up with the laptop as well. It's the hard drive, there's the laptop, there was a couple other things. All this stuff happened, and then he gave it to a prosecutor, and that prosecutor then gave it back to the FBI. Now, I guarantee you, the information has been posted, and it's actually on the internet. It's on a server. It's out there now. People have copied this thing a million times. So that information is not going away. The problem now is that people are going to say, they've tampered with the evidence. It's not the original documents and stuff and all that. They're going to play that out as long as they can. But so you've got this going on, but here's what they do. And this is how they operate. So this is why when they find something, they don't just go after somebody right away and try to get charges on them. This is what happens. I'm going to play this. And maybe it will play properly and you'll hear it. Maybe it won't. If it doesn't, then I'll have to, you know, do it again because I'm an amateur. I'm not getting paid for this. If you want to get a really good guy doing a podcast, you need to pay for it because, you know, you get amateurs like me in here doing this stuff. Okay, here we go.
Three officials whose names were used with me, X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to say on your show. The feds all have this. I'm sorry. The legitimate feds all have this as of April. Mm-hmm. There were three names used at the three senior officials. Right. They were behind all of this.
Okay, that was not what I thought it was. This one was the one. Well, hold on a second here. I hope I didn't lose that.
Guys like Strzok and stuff are the errand boys. They're the clerks who sent the messages for some federal agents.
Is it John Brennan? Is it James Clapper? Is it
Comey? General Barr has that information, and okay. I'm sure furious. I've way overstepped.
Okay, he talks about. I know this is getting kind of confusing. Let's play this one and see if it makes any sense.
They told me, this is word for word, Patrick, you What's really going on is this. President Obama has his people across the federal bureaucracy at this point, but especially the Department of Justice. Hillary Clinton is going to be president for 8 years, and nothing's going to change that. But think of there being a Bunsen burner within the Department of Justice. That evidence about the two bribes you were part of gathering is going to be sitting on the Bunsen burner. And the hand on the Bunsen burner is going to be one of Barack Obama's people. If Hillary's a good girl and defends Obamacare, that flame stays low. If she's a bad girl and thinks for herself, it's going to get turned up high. That way, Barack Obama's going to manage Hillary Clinton for the 8 years she's president, and then she's going to step down, and Michelle's going to run. And Patrick, that's the plan.
That's the plan. Okay, that's the one I was actually looking for initially. So this is key to understanding how the feds operate. Now, I want to take you right from there and take you back to the first week that Trump was in office. Who visited President Trump in the Oval Office by himself? After everyone else was excused from the room, President Trump was meeting with all these high ups in the intelligence and the FBI and all these people. They all walk out and one person is left who's taking notes in this meeting that end up getting passed on to someone else to go to the press. What was their discussion about? James Comey, in his own words, talks about how he showed this information, the Steele dossier, showed it to the president to let him know what kind of information is out there. Now, Trump knows, who knows what was going through his head. He's thinking, oh, okay, so there's fake information out there about me. I don't know what he's thinking. Trump knows that this wasn't him, and he probably said it. Well, this wasn't me. I didn't pay these people to pee on the bed that Barack Obama slept on. Just stuff like that. Just ridiculous stuff within the Steele dossier. That to this day, Eric Swalwell, and you know who I'm talking about, Eric Swalwell. Yeah, that's Eric Swalwell. So we're talking about a shakedown. This is what it's called in the mafia world. And that's what they were going to do to Hillary. Now, let me give you some backstory on this. Patrick Byrne was somehow involved in, because he had ties with Hillary. He had an inside scoop. He was friends with the Clintons. He was. He's not anymore. I'm surprised he hasn't killed himself. So we're in this situation where he's got ties with Hillary. They want to set, and he's got some other information and some other relationships with people who kind of are a part of this whole network of sting, this what they're calling a sting operation. The FBI said, we're conducting a sting operation, and we want to set Hillary up. This is a year before the 2016 election, a year before the election. This was in 2015. And they were saying they wanted to set up a sting operation because they had information that Hillary was taking bribes from other countries. Whether or not that's true or not, they were, you know, sort of doing all this stuff. And they were able to get her. Now, she did take $20 million from Turkey, and that's what started this whole thing. And they were suspicious of the funds that she got from Turkey. Now, I assume it was through the Clinton Foundation because there was a lot of money laundered through the Clinton Foundation. They're estimating a couple billion dollars. So, and a lot of that was supposed to go to Haiti, which never did. And nobody knows where it is. So it's all offshore. The whole Clinton Foundation is not on the U.S. shores. It's in a bank offshore. So, again, all this money's flowing around all over the world, all these big, huge, you know, stimulus bills and all the stuff that we do and all this money that goes every place else. Well, gee, interesting there. So anyway, this is all just a big mess. It's all a big mess, and I'm not even being conspiratorial about all this. It's fact where this money is going and how it gets funneled back to different places. People have followed the money trail and some of this stuff, and it's there's no prosecution because of what I'm about to say. Now, it's important to hear that one clip I played, it said that General Barr, Attorney General, is who he's talking about. Barr has all this information. This was when Barr was still in, because as of last December, beginning of last December, Barr was still in charge of the Justice Department there, Attorney General. So he has all this information, and here we have now, so Trump, on, you know, and it first gets into office and they bring him all this information, and it was meant to shake him down. It was meant to say, we can do this to you. Because they hadn't set up this whole thing. They hadn't gotten anything on him, which is another reason why they were spying on his campaign. Because they can always come back to you and say, well, we got this dirt on you. So you need to do what we want you to do. Your foreign policy needs to be A, B, and C. You need to do, you know, X, Y, and Z for the country. You need to make sure that law enforcement does this or does that. Or you need to go after this person or that person, or you can't touch that person, or you can't touch us. That's why they call them the untouchables, because they got dirt on you, and it's mutual destruction. If your career's over, if you get anything on them. Now, the question is that, you know, if they're going to do it to the president or the potential president, here's a question for you. How many senators and congressmen are controlled in the same way? Because I'll guarantee you, there are probably some people that they have dirt on. And my guess is, these are people that could be high up in Congress. If they can go after the president and do the same thing. Now, notice that one thing he said was like a Bunsen burner. I'm going to get back to that because I want you to forget about it. The Bunsen burner effect with Hillary. They had no intention of arresting her before the election. Okay, he makes this very clear. He said Obama has his people throughout the FBI and the federal organizations. He's already had them. He already has them established in place. Now, remember this. Keep this in mind. Valerie Jarrett, his puppet master, who ran the show in Washington when Barack was in power, when BO was in power. She moved in to his house about a mile away from the Capitol building. This has never happened before. Set up an office and basically has been running an operation parallel to the presidency ever since. Most presidents go home, they're done, it's a new administration, they're out of it. That's been the tradition for years. That was not the tradition with BO. He maintained control and had every intention of controlling Hillary Clinton, which is one of the reasons he had her as Secretary of State. That way he could, so of course they had all this stuff on her too. So now she was Secretary of State at the time this 2015 thing was going, is that right? Yeah, she was still Secretary of State at that time, I think. Maybe she wasn't. Maybe she was out of it. Maybe John Kerry was in. I can't remember who was in. So, yeah, I think she was she wasn't Secretary of State at the time. So here you go. You got this all happening. And so the election comes up. Trump wins. And now they have to do something to control Trump. And it didn't work because it was false information. However, they had the media on their side. And they had all these other avenues within the Justice Department. You know, Sessions got in there and basically recused himself because everybody in the Justice Department convinced him that he had to in the investigation into Benghazi and all the other stuff that was going on at that time and the election stuff. So he steps back, and now he's turned it over to the people who were the original bureaucrats who were there. And it's a circus. And I'm not saying that Sessions is part of that, but I'm saying Sessions certainly played into it, and you have to wonder if he maybe had something on him, that they put leverage on him to get to recuse himself from that position. Now, keep in mind, Chris Christie originally thought he was going to be the AG. That's why he was kissing the feet of Trump, originally holding his jacket for him. It was so, it was so blatant at one point when Trump was giving a speech and Christie was right there with him, and he handed his coat over to Christie to hold his coat for him. And Christie was really showing himself to be the, you know, the typical politician. Anyway, so Trump gets into office. This doesn't faze him a bit. The next thing you know, Comey's fired. And then Comey goes on this tour, a Trump whistle stop tour, basically telling everybody how we're just going to send a couple guys over. So they go after Flynn, because Flynn is the other guy that's a key to bringing down this whole cabal, because Flynn was involved in the Obama administration and knew everything that was going on. That's why Flynn was key. They had to take him down. They put a muzzle order on him. He couldn't speak about the case. He couldn't speak about anything else during his case, and the case dragged on for years. This is stuff that you couldn't write a book about and have anybody believe it. And and I'm not talking unknown facts here. This is all stuff that happened. How else do you put this together? Trump was a guy they couldn't control, and that's exactly what they wanted. And they because they didn't have anything on the guy, they spent 2 years investigating the guy, spent $32 million or more on a Russian collusion thing, never did find anything within his campaign or any of his kids or anything else. Nobody had a laptop with pictures of underage kids on it, with disgusting crack habit stuff on it. Pictures, not just documents and emails like Hillary had. I would assume Hillary probably had some pictures on her server too. All that stuff just vanished. They asked her for all the details and she erased a bunch of it, sent it to them, and said, I had my lawyers tell me what I could erase and what I couldn't. Well, your lawyers should go to prison too then, because they subpoenaed your information and you destroyed it. That's called evidence. But she got away with it because of all the stuff that's going on. Because she probably has stuff on them too. But so this, it's this game that they play. So now you understand that Attorney General Barr had all this information out there to begin with and sat on it, because that's what they do. They use this information. They wanted to hold on to Hunter Biden's laptop. Why? Because of the Bunsen burner. If the Biden administration, if you want to call it that, it's not really the Biden administration. It's the, I don't know, what do you want to call it? His puppet masters, they're telling him what to say. He just reads speeches from, that's all. I mean, I don't know. The guy's not a leader. He's not there anymore. So can you imagine being on a cabinet meeting with this guy without a teleprompter? So they got this information on him and his family. And I guarantee you they've got information and a lot of dirt on Comey, because there's a lot of dirt there to have, I mean, even in what's known publicly, let alone what happened out in California with all the prosecution stuff that happened behind the scenes and all the under the table stuff that happened out there. I'm sure that they've got a lot of information on her. So they will love having her in place as soon as Biden steps aside, because that's what they want to do. They want to be able to control that person in the White House to get their agenda done. And the swamp in that case is extremely deep. And if you don't realize that there's, and I'm talking the upper levels, and the guys that are at the bottom, unfortunately, just have to go along to get along. Of course, they prize their job. That's their career. They've worked at it for all their lives. They want to be in law enforcement. They do their job. But the problem is you've got people at the top who are playing all these games and getting them, implicated in some of this stuff. So that's all I'm going to say about that. It's interesting developments. If you get a chance, like I said, if you happen to know Brandon Tatum, or if Brandon happens to actually listen to this podcast, give me a call. I'd like to interview you, talk about you with you sometime, and not just talk about you, talk to you. But or if you're BCP, I'd love to talk to you too. It'd be fun to have you on the podcast. The rest of the day, I hope all of you have a good day, even despite all the stuff that's going on. Again, it looks like the impeachment's not going to go anywhere. A lot of people on the left are upset about that because they just think that Trump should be gone. Well, even if he's only got one day left. It's just, that's the hysteria, the mass hysteria that's out there. But it's, the one thing you have to say about what has happened in the last 4 years is that we have definitely exposed the seething, slimy underbelly of what is Washington, D.C. And I think that people have seen enough that they can't unsee it right now. And I know there's a lot of the population forgets things within 2 weeks or less. And the news cycle just keeps moving on, and the media keeps, you know, perpetrating the same narrative over and over and over. And of course, that's the whole thing that Goebbels believed in. You know, if you tell a lie often enough, big enough, people will just accept it as the truth. And it's this whole thing about the election. They just keep saying it. Now people are starting to doubt whether they actually saw, you know, people are saying, maybe he did get that many votes. I'm seeing rational people saying that. Well, he probably really did get that many votes. 80 million votes. 81 million. Yeah, sure he did. Sure.
Yeah.
The math doesn't add up, folks. So let's, of course, math is racist. We'll get on with that all later. But basically, once again, it's another day, Thursday, January 14th. Almost tomorrow's payday for some of you. Maybe today's payday for some of you. But hopefully, all of you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. Great weekend. And we'll continue to monitor the news and the channels out there, everything that's going on, and get the information to you. You'll get to hear what my opinion is, because this is the news, according to me. God bless everybody. Have a great day.
Yeah.